Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH, a weekly broadcast with my dad, Pastor Salem. For over 45 years, CWH has proclaimed the good news of the gospel to those who are lost and to provide hope and encouragement to Christians around the world. We welcome you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to view this timeless program. Thank you for your continued correspondence. We look forward to hearing from you. We recently heard from a viewer through Facebook. One day I was flipping through the channels and came across the Christian Worship Hour. Pastor Salem was preaching. He was very down to earth. I liked his sense of humor, and he preached from the Bible. These broadcasts keep him and his message alive for all of us. I am thankful I found CWH. It just warms my heart every time I watch. In his message today, Complete in Christ, my dad reminds us that everything we need is in Jesus Christ. We hope this service will comfort you and give you hope and peace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And here it is, another week rolled by. They just come and go so fast. And I'm going to tell you something. My old granddad lived to be a little over 100 years. And he said, every year goes faster. And he's sure right. I'm 96, and I can say amen to that. Every week goes faster. And that's okay, because it means we're getting closer home. Somebody says, well, you're getting closer to the grave. I says, no, I'm getting closer to home. I'm getting closer to heaven. All my loved ones, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to see all the saints. And won't that be something? And I know I'll get in, because I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you know Jesus, if you accept Jesus, no question, you're safe. You'll be at home. As a matter of fact, we're going to preach about that today. And that is, we're complete in Christ. Everything that we need that are eternal, that amount to anything, is in Jesus Christ. That's what we're going to talk about. So maybe you could call a friend or something. Maybe they got a little, maybe they're a little discouraged or something. Maybe they don't know which way to turn. And just call and tell them, tune us in, and maybe we can help them. But let's look at Psalm 20 today, where the psalmist says, verses 5 to 9, we will rejoice in thy salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed, and he will hear him from his holy heaven with his saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we'll remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that in Jesus we have everything, and we have victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory over sin and over Satan and over all of the things of life, because you give us help and strength that we don't have of ourselves, and you always help us and guide us. So in this service, Lord, may we bring peace to many, and may we bring encouragement and joy. And to those who've never opened their heart to you, may we bring the good news, and they will pray to receive the Savior into their heart and life and find the joy of salvation. Oh, we want the whole world to know. And so this is your service, Lord. Ask you to use it in Jesus' name. Amen. Barb's singing for us today. And I know you like the song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And God bless you, Barb.
What a friend we have in Jesus. Our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord.
Thank you, Barb, and you know, that's a sermon in itself. This wonderful Jesus will be your friend, your personal friend. And you know, when Jesus was here, the multitudes tried to get to him, and a lot of them couldn't get to see him because of all the people. But now Jesus is here in his spirit, and by the Holy Spirit, we can know Jesus and we can talk to him and have him all to ourselves anytime we want. And there's times when we don't know which way to turn. And there's times when we're lonely. We get so many letters of people telling of how lonely it is. And I think one of our letters today talks about being lonely. And when we have the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are never alone. And it says, he sticketh closer than a brother. And I have some brothers, and we are very, very close. But Jesus is closer than our brother, closer than our breath, because he dwells within us. So if you don't know Jesus and you want to know him, I'll tell you how you can meet him. You have to come to him and confess your sins, because he'll never accept us into heaven with our sins. He just absolutely can't. And so you just talk to Jesus and you say, well, I don't know how to talk to Jesus. I never did pray in my life. Well, then forget about praying. Just talk to him, see? And say, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And he knows that, but he wants us to admit it. He says, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. And I just ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. Because Jesus taught repentance. He says, you need to turn from your old ways. You need to follow me. And so you just said, I'll follow you the best I can. You'll never be perfect. And when you sin, you just ask for forgiveness and go on, see? But so, dear Jesus, please come into my heart, take away my sins. I'll follow you the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. That's it. That's what Jesus said. He says in John 5:24, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever believeth, whosoever heareth my word and believeth in me hath everlasting life. Do you believe in Jesus? You just talk to Jesus? You have everlasting life. You say, I didn't feel anything. Doesn't say you have to feel anything. It's a contract. It's an agreement. It's a covenant. He's saying, if you receive me, I'll save you. That's what it is. It's a transaction. So maybe you'll feel real thrilled and all that. Maybe you get goose pimples. I don't know. But maybe nothing will happen. You just take him at his word. You're doing a transaction. You're doing business. Dear Jesus, I'm bringing you my sins. I'm asking you into my heart. And you said you'd come in. You say, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I'll open and opens the door, I will come in. Well, you open the door when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, see? I will come in and I'll fellowship with him and he with me, and he'll never leave us or forsake us. Oh, I love to talk about Jesus. And there's hope, hope. And you say, oh, I got bad sins. Don't we all? You know, he'll forgive us all of our sins, make us white as snow. Well, we want to read some letters. And we're just so happy to hear from you folks. And we thank you for writing. And I hope more of you will write. And I'm going to give you the address pretty soon. So get your name, get your pencil and paper ready. Unless you can remember it. I don't know. Maybe you can memorize it. I'm not very good at that. Probably better if you write it down. So just get that ready. But let's look at some of the letters. Here's a letter from Brandon, South Dakota. I write a lot of letters to relatives and friends and let them know of your ministry. I'm thankful Mother started me early to know Jesus when I was about 5 years old. Thanks for the new song. Well, now she's got a lot of things in this letter. For first of all, she's writing to her friends, telling her friends about the Christian worship hour. And you may have a friend that doesn't know Jesus. And if they don't know Jesus, they're going into a crisis eternity. And as the Bible says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. And God is angry if we reject his son, if we don't accept his son, see? It's an affront to him. It's an insult. And so she's writing to these people and telling them, listen in, tune in. And I'm going to tell you something about my preaching. I preach so that even the children understand. We get letters from little children, and they accept Jesus. And here this lady, she says she was about 5 years old when she accepted the Lord. I have a daughter, Patty. She accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's a grandmother now, walking with the Lord. Don't tell me I was 10 and behind times and behind my times. I was slow in school. I was 10 years old and I accepted Jesus and I didn't understand everything I was doing, but I knew one thing. I knew I was a sinner and I knew I couldn't go to heaven with my sins. I asked Jesus to come into my heart and he came into my heart and he saved me, and that's 86 years now. Never left me once. Sometimes I failed him. I'm ashamed of him, not proud of it, but he never failed me once. Always been in his love. So you just prayed about Jesus. And then she says, thanks for the new song. And the new song is a little Bible study that we put out. And this month we have a Bible study on why we should be thankful. It's a month of November, so we're going to, and then Christmas, and one we're going to have about reasons that Jesus came. And it's I know you're going to enjoy it. There's five Sundays we're going to have in December, five reasons that Jesus came. And I'm excited about it already. And here we are. We've got a little time to wait. I can't hardly wait. But the new song is a little Bible study. And it has scriptures in it. You can have it. Some people use it for Sunday school. Some people use it in retirement homes. Some use it for their private study. But it's just a wonderful little thing. And you say, oh, I want the new song. What is the subscription is? How much does it cost? It's free. We are such nice people here. You just can't believe it. We send it free. So get your pencil and paper. We'll talk about it later. Here's Baker, Montana. And they're writing, I am trusting for some pages of your Bible studies. She's here. They're talking about the new song. We use them for our Bible studies, for our assisted living. We appreciate them. Have some dear ladies to share with them. And so that's the new song she's writing about. Sioux City, Iowa. I accepted Jesus into my heart when I was only 5 years old. I'm 53 years old now and have a bad hip, left hip, and don't have a car, so your program is my church. Thank you so much for your ministry in Christ's love. And so we're her church. Now, we always urge people to go to church. Go to church where the Bible's being preached, and don't go to see just what you can get. See what you can give, what you can do to help in the ministry of the work. Find a church. You ought to go to church. Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. So we support the church 100%. But if you can't get out, then we'll be your church. And we have a lot of people that can't get out, especially in the winter. And the storms are coming pretty soon now. And so they can have their church every Sunday, every week. And we're glad to do that. Let's see, here's Kalkaska, Michigan. So happy to know I'm not alone. I can talk to Jesus anytime. It is scary when you're alone and lonely. It's scary. Well, I'm alone. My wife is gone. And somebody told me, well, why don't you get a dog? You know, get a dog. Now, I use a walker. Now, can you imagine me out in a snowstorm walking my dog with a walker? And so I can think of better things, but thanks for the suggestion. But, you know, we're never alone. Just remember this. Jesus says, I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. So you're never alone. Just talk to Jesus. Sometimes I talk out loud. God, just fine. Just have a wonderful time with the Lord. And so if you're lonely, lean on Jesus. Here's Armour, South Dakota. I really like this letter here. And this is a man, and he writes, and he says, I watch your ministry on Sundays when I can, and I enjoy it and the reading of the letters. We have quite a bit in common. Like you, my name is Harold. Well, I like that man. And I don't know why these people don't name their name Harold, give their kids Harold. They would be so happy to have a name like that. But this brother's name is Harold. Like you, I grew up on a farm. Yes, like you, I was a sheep herder. And you're right, they are dumb. Amen. I lost my wife to Jesus almost 5 years ago. I know she's waiting for me. I'm handicapped and homebound, but Jesus has provided. Over the last 10 years or so, when the doctors didn't think I'd make it, he gave me an extension several times. One I know for sure was a miracle, because an angel in my sleep told me, Jesus loves you, and I know he does. Well, isn't that beautiful? And I believe in angels, and I believe that this man had an angel talk to him. I believe it. I don't have any experience like that. I always wish that I could hear somebody, an angel talking to me or the Lord talking to me, you know, and have a kind of a vision. And then I could brag about that, and I could tell everybody. I'd put it on my stationery and everything. And I came close one time. I woke up in the night, and there was somebody talking to me. And I said, oh, I'm getting my vision. And then I see it was a TV left on. So there went my vision. But never give up. Never give up. One more letter. And this, I just really love this letter too. These letters are just great. I just love reading them, and I know you like to hear them. And this is from Snohomish, Washington. Said, you remind me of my grandfather who came from Norway, settled on a farm close to Winger, Minnesota. He was a lay preacher, and he helped establish Lutheran churches in the area. My grandparents had five daughters. When Grandma was 34 years old, she passed away. But on her deathbed, she said she could see Jesus coming to get her. My mother told me about what she had said when I was a young girl, probably 10 years or so. That testimony convinced me that Jesus was real, and he's been real to me ever since. Now I'm 85 years old, and Jesus is just as real to me today. He has been so merciful and faithful to me and my whole family. God bless all of you who partake in your services. The Lord is willing, using you to bring souls into his kingdom. And I thought, you know, here's a lady, 34 years old, and on her deathbed, she saw Jesus. And I've talked to people, different people, who would tell about how they've had a vision of Jesus or a vision of heaven. Or they just, Dwight L. Moody said he could see the children playing. And I believe that's true, because there are angels, and God does give visions, and God does talk to people. And here's this lady, 34 years old, and she tells her, and this little girl, 10 years old, she remembered that until she's 85. And that means a lot to her and strengthens her faith. And so that's what we need to do. If we have an experience, or if we feel about the Lord, share Jesus with other people. Encourage them and help them. And so we're thankful for all these letters, and we hope that you'll write. And we hope that you'll write to us, and I'm going to give the address now. It's the Christian Worship Hour, Christian Worship Hour. And the box is 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And all of you folks that are on shortwave radio, we say that we're told that we reach 90% of the world's population by shortwave radio. And so we'd love to hear from you. We hear from some, we'd like to hear from more. And you write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, and the box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then I want to tell you that we have to have your help. If you think this is a ministry that God is using and is a ministry that should be carried on, then you have to help us. We have to support us. And we have no other source of income. We're not underwritten by any denomination or corporation or organization. It's just God's people. And so we just tell them we don't beg for money. We just let you know we have a need. I never hesitate to ask for money for the Lord. And we have to have to pay our bills. And if we get extra money, then we take on another station. And so if you just pray about it, and then you do as the Lord leads. And also I want you to know this, that we are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. And that means that they audit our books and check every penny we get and every penny we spend. And so we're on the level. Even if we wouldn't want to be, we'd have to be a member of that organization. But of course we want to be, and we've always been honest. Before we were members, we were honest, and we're just as honest afterwards. They didn't have to change a thing. They just told us a little different procedure. Put this here and put that there and whatever. But we're all member of that great organization. So now we're going to pray. I'm going to pray, and Jan's going to play. And then you give as the Lord lays on your heart. And you send it to the Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. Heavenly Father, thank you for all who help us in this work. Help us to make the name of Jesus known all over the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jan. We're reading from Colossians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles and you want to locate that, Colossians chapter 2. And then in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iran. And some of these people are under the gun right now. And the nice thing is that some of these people, many of these people, maybe all of them, have shortwave radio. They wouldn't maybe have a television, but about everybody has a shortwave radio. And so they can tune us in, they can hear us, and they'll know that we're praying for them. And not just me praying here from this pulpit, but when we say to pray for the persecuted church in Iran, all over the world, all the believers are praying. And so that all is centered, the focus is on Iran. Or whatever week with spotlight will be on them. So let's look at Colossians 2, beginning with the fourth verse. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as we have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through faith of the operation of God, who hath raised us from the dead. And let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. And as Paul tells us here, we are complete in him. We don't need anything else except Jesus. It's Jesus only. It's Jesus only getting into heaven. You said that you told us the way to heaven is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way. Jesus is the way. Sometimes we think the church is the way, and sometimes baptism and circumcision and works and money and all the rest of it. But you said that you were the way. The way to heaven is through Jesus. And we have everything in Jesus. We have everything. We don't need anything more. If we have Jesus, we have everything. And so we give you thank you for Jesus. And now today, Lord, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters in Iran. Some of them are suffering for you today. Some of them are having hard times, but maybe at the point of despair. But help them to know that you know, just as you saw the children of Israel when they were in Egypt, and how they were suffering by their taskmasters. And God told them, I've heard your prayers, and I see you. I know what you're going through. And eventually he delivered them. And so help these people, Lord, our brothers and sisters. They're part of our church. We're part of the same body. And help them to know that you do know and you do care, and you will deliver them in one way or another. You're going to take care of them. And help them to know we're praying, and all over the world, your brother, their brothers and sisters are praying for them so they can take heart and carry on. And someday we'll meet them in heaven. We'll talk about it then, all about it. And they'll be wearing the crown of the martyr. And won't that be a beautiful sight? So bless us in this service. Bless your people. Bless us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Melissa's going to sing a song, Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. A band of angels coming after me. Coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot. Coming for to carry me home. Carry me home. If you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Just tell my friends that I'm coming too, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. For to carry me home. I'm sometimes up and sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. But still my soul is heavenly bound, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home.
Well, thank you, Melissa. We really appreciate that. And, I don't know if the Lord will have a chariot. I don't know how it'll be, but I know it'll be Jesus. And I know he's going to take me home, and he'll take you home if you accept Jesus if you're one of his children by faith, when that time comes to go, he'll be right there. And David talked about that, you know. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will fear no evil. In other words, he says, I'm not afraid to die, not afraid of death. And he says, oh, David, how can you not be afraid to death? And just listen to him again. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus is with me. And that's open to every one of us. He's going to be with us. He'll walk with us. Maybe it'll be a chariot. I don't know. It was for Elijah. But that's up to the Lord. And it's like I had a dear brother in the Lord, John Dillon. And he was a pastor of the Wesleyan Church. And he always would say, well, I'm all packed and ready to go, just waiting for transportation. And one of those days, God came and took him. Jesus took him home. And I'm anxious to see him, and I know he'll come for me and he'll come for you, but you have to have Jesus in your heart, and he's not there unless you ask him. And you just stay with us. We're going to talk about that. Always do. But I want to talk about our completeness in Christ. When we accept Jesus Christ, we have everything we need. We do not need one more thing. We are complete in Christ. Because he is so wonderful. He is so beautiful. And many people don't really see him in all of his beauty. They just think he's another person, but he is so wonderful. And I was reading this story about King George V of Britain. And he once paid, when he was the king, a visit to Leeds, to the city of Leeds. And elaborate preparations were made for his coming, and excited crowds filled the streets and waved and cheered and all of the rest of it. And there was a large elementary school in Leeds with a playground which ran alongside the railway line. And His Majesty the King agreed to wave to the boys and girls as the royal train passed by on the last day of his visit. And so the boys and girls crowded to the playground wall overlooking the railroad. And presently there was a long train. The royal train slowly emerged and gradually drew alongside the playground. And then the king came outside the royal coach, stood on a small platform if you could all see him. He wore no crown or purple robe, but he was dressed in a plain suit, just like an ordinary man. From his pocket he plucked a bright handkerchief with which he waved to the cheering children. All too soon, the train glided by and disappeared. And then the cheers, after they subsided into silence, there was one little girl, and she was sobbing bitterly, so much so that one of the teachers asked her, "Why are you crying like that, dear?" And the little girl sputtered through her tears, "I wanted to see the king, and I only saw a man." You know, there are many people who see Jesus only as a man. They see that because he was born as a man among men, a tiny baby just like all the rest of us, no halo, no angels fluttering around. He lived to be a man among men. He didn't ride a fiery steed. He didn't come racing in on an elaborate chariot. Instead, he walked the dirty, dusty roads of Palestine, while his enemies rode in haughty pride. And he died among men. He suffered like any other man would suffer, like the two thieves on Calvary that day. He died as any other person would die, except he dismissed his spirit when he was ready, and not until. We're told he dismissed his spirit. He got through with it, and then he dismissed his spirit. You and I are going to dismiss our spirit when we die, but we're not going to have a word to say when that happens. But with Jesus, he picked the time and the place, and he could make it at his own choosing that he gave up his spirit. So consequently, because of all of this, there are people in the world today who see Jesus only as a man. They don't see him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Sovereign One. God, he is in God incarnate. Let's not miss who he was just because he dressed as humble people around him dressed. But take a closer look at him and you'll see God Almighty in human flesh, just like us, except without sin. So he is above and beyond all the limitations of character. He has all perfections. We are imperfect, but not so Jesus. There are some people that had exceptional good parts in their character. Job had patience. Jeremiah had a very tender heart. Moses had meekness. Paul had burning zeal. John had enduring love. Isaiah had redeeming passion. Jeremiah called him the weeping prophet because of his love for the people. He wept over them. Jesus Christ, when you come to him, he's the pinnacle and he has all of these great, beautiful things, all of these great characteristics because he is perfect and he is without sin. It doesn't mean that he never committed a sin. That's true. He never did. But it means that he never, ever, ever had, there was no traitor within him to sell him out. We have that old nature, and that old nature is always lusting for the flesh, and we're to be working on the spirit. We're to put the emphasis on the spirit, but the old flesh wants to put it on the flesh. And it draws us, that old nature, draws us into evil every time it gets a chance. And it can happen at any time. It can happen to young people, of course, but even Solomon in his old age sinned, went off into sin. That old nature is always with us. When we accept Jesus, we get a new nature, but the old nature is there too. And they fight against each other. And we have to put the emphasis on the spirit and not the flesh. And that's what Paul is talking about. So he's a perfect. Jesus Christ never had that nature like that within him to betray him and to set him aside. He was a son of God and he was God. And all the Godhead is in Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in the book of Colossians. And so the scripture tells us that this wonderful Savior then has the great power of cleansing us and taking away our sins. And nobody can do that except God. And Jesus is God. God in the flesh. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And so he says, whosoever in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever calls on Jesus. This wonderful Jesus is able to, not only does he have all the other characteristics and abilities and beauties, but he has the power to forgive sin. It says in Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And so, my friend, I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you are not complete. You'll never be complete. Because God has made us for Christ. He's made us for God, for a part of his spiritual be within us. And we don't have it until we're born again, until we have Jesus. So if you don't have Jesus, you don't have any of these things. But if you have Jesus, here's some of the things we have. We have redemption. Our redemption is complete in Christ. Men have worried and fretted since the beginning of time. How can I be right with God? How can I stand before God? They've tried every way possible. They tried to live good lives. They tried to give a lot of money. They tried to sometimes they cut their bodies and bruise their bodies. Sometimes they give their little babies to be right with God and let them die and put them in the furnace or have them sacrificed. Can you imagine such a thing? But the sin question is such a horrible thing in their sight. They want to be right with God, and they do all of these things. Today, you and I can and do have a complete redemption. These people offer all these sacrifices of old didn't mean a thing, because when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, we have that wonderful salvation, that wonderful redemption. And so God assures us. God tells us in Colossians 4, verses 4 and 5, But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sins. And so he comes to redeem us, the redemption to save us from our sin. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Or look at 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Our redemption is full and complete when we have this Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it is complete the moment you accept Christ. And so we are told in John 5:24. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but have everlasting life. You're going to be with God in heaven. So this is what it is. When Jesus dies on the cross, he pays for the sins of the world. He pays for all of your sins, all of my sins. And he pays for them. And a lot of people think, oh, he pays for them up to the day that I'm saved. And then all my sins of the past are saved. But now I'm on probation and I better be careful and I better be good or I'll lose my soul. I'll go back into hell. Listen. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he paid for all of my sins in the past, the present, and the future. Well, you say, how can that be? Well, how can that be? All of my sins were in the future when Jesus died 2,000 years ago. I hadn't committed any of them yet. He paid for them all the way to glory. And that's why you can't lose your salvation. So people think, well, I'm saved, but if I don't do everything just right, I'll lose my salvation. Oh, no, you won't. All those sins are paid for all the way to glory. Our redemption is complete. And then our justification is complete. We're justified in Jesus Christ. Paul preached in Antioch in Pisidia. And he said in Acts 13:38-39, be it known unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And he says this, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which we could not be justified by the law of Moses. Completely justified. It means just as if I had never sinned. He says there in Hebrews 8, verse 12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's the way it will be when we meet Jesus in heaven, all justified, all settled, all paid. And when we meet Jesus, and he'll meet us in that and loving, caring way. And we'll say, oh, I sinned against you. And he'll say, sinned against me? I don't have any record where you ever sinned. Your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. That's what Jesus does for us in our salvation. He washes away every sin with his own blood. He pays for every wrong with his own blood. And the past, the present, and the future. And that's why we don't need to worry, because Jesus paid them all. Jesus, and then sometimes people say, they'll get sick or something will happen and they'll say, oh, I know that it was because of a sin. I remember a dear lady. She was just the saintliest woman that ever lived, wonderful lady. I don't know if she's the most saintly ever lived. That's up to the Lord. But she was a wonderful Christian woman. And in her old age, she became ill and had to have a leg amputated. And that is a horrible, horrible experience. And I remember she told me one day, I must have sinned terribly as a young girl to have this happen to me. And I've seen that over and over. Something happens, a setback, a sorrow, a death, or something hard. And they'll say, I remember it must be from some sin of the past. Now, I'll tell you where you get that idea. You get that from the devil. That doesn't come from Jesus. Jesus doesn't play double jeopardy. He forgives our sins and they're all washed away. And now, of course, if you have sins that have destroyed your body, your liver or something, and you die from that, that's the consequences of sin. But he never charges you twice for your sins. They're all paid in full. And so if you have that calamity come into your life, maybe God is going to use you like Job. Now look at Job. He was the most righteous man of his day. We know that, but that's what God says. He's not only his neighbor said it, but God said he is the most righteous man on earth at that time. And you know the sufferings of Job. And it was because of a struggle behind the scenes with Satan. We know the whole story, but Job didn't know it. And his wife didn't know it. And she said, Job, if I were you, I'd just curse God and I'd die and I'd get out of this mess. And Job said, if he slays me, I don't care. Though he slay me, I'll trust him. That's the way you have to live. And so when you have troubles come into your life, and they'll come to all of us, because God tests us to make us more like himself. He maybe tests us because we're proud. He may well test us because we should be more humble. He may test us because we have our eyes on the things of the earth. I don't know, but he does it to make us better. He chasteneth every son, every child he receives. That's what the scriptures tell us, to make us better, not worse. So when that comes, you just bow your head and say, dear Jesus, don't question him. Don't say, why did you do this? You say, what are you teaching me, Lord? What do you want to show me? We're justified. Our sanctification is complete in Christ. Through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, we are cleansed within. We are sanctified, which means we are separated unto God. That's all it means. Sanctified means set apart. And we're set apart. And that's what he tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. And such were some of you, but you are washed. You are sanctified, you are justified by the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And so it is through this wonderful Lord Jesus, he sets us apart and uses us in his service. What a wonderful Lord. And nobody can touch us because we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Our peace is complete in Christ. The world doesn't have peace. That's seen in many ways. We see them restless. We see them down at the bar trying to find peace and find fulfillment. They're looking. Some people think more money they'll get peace. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And you'll never find peace until you find Jesus. And then in Jesus, our peace is fulfilled. Jesus tells us in John 16, verse 33, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye might in me, ye might have peace. And in Ephesians 2, verse 14, we're told, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And so we sing the song. What a treasure I have in this wonderful peace, buried deep in the heart of my soul, so secure that no power can mine it away while the years of eternity roll. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in fathomless billows of love. And so we have this wonderful peace. We have triumph over spiritual foes, and that's complete in the Lord Jesus as he helps us and guides us. And we all have spiritual foes to fight us. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 17, we talk about the spiritual battle that we have. But God tells us, you're going to have the victory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And the victory is going to be ours. But we are on a battlefield against Satan. And we like Job. He stood that battle and he won that battle. And he came out like pure gold. And that's what we can do. We have victory over Satan and over the forces of evil. And we have triumph over death in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many people that fear death. They don't want to talk about death. They're afraid to die. But we can say, I'm not afraid to die. We can say, as in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have this wonderful victory through Christ. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because our wonderful Savior is mine. He's with me and carrying me through and helping me through. Victory, and it's all in Jesus. Jesus is the answer to everything we need that we really have to have. He's the answer. You don't need anybody else outside of Jesus, like works or baptism or all 1,000 different things you could do. No, it's all in Jesus. As Paul says, you're complete in Christ. Our resurrection and glory is complete in Jesus. Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, but now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man sin came into the man, death came in by man, came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued under him, then shall the Son of also himself be subject unto him. And so that our great victory, all of our victory is in Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus and somebody else. It's all in Christ. And he tells us it's in Jesus Christ alone. He demonstrates this fact when he comes to John in a vision on the Isle of Patmos. And John is an old man now. It's been 60 years since he's seen Jesus taken up in a vision, seen Jesus taken up from the Mount of Olives. 60 years later, John is an old man. As far as we know, he was the oldest of all the apostles to live. And now here is an old man. He's on the Isle of Patmos, and he meets the Lord Jesus. And John describes the encounter in Revelation 1, verses 12 to 18. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And having turned, I saw 7 golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt with around the hips with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like undefined brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand 7 stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in the strength. And listen to this. And John says, When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me and said, fear not. Jesus is always saying that, isn't he? He's always saying, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of old age. Don't be afraid of the devil. Don't be afraid of the enemy. Don't be afraid of anything. Fear not. And he says, fear not. I'm the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and death. John is telling us we are complete in Jesus. And so we just need to put our faith in Jesus. Liddy H. Edmonds found that completeness in Jesus over 100 years ago and wrote this hymn. My faith has found a resting place not in device or creed. I trust the everlasting one, his wounds for me shall plead. Enough for me that Jesus saves, this ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul I come to him, he'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on his word, the written word of God, salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save. For me his precious blood is shed, for me his life he gave. Then it closes. I have no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. Do you have Jesus in your heart? You can have Jesus by just simply saying, dear Jesus, please come in. I want to be complete. Please come into my heart, take away my sins. and I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. Now, if you do that, you write to us, Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And we'll send you some literature and we'll pray for you. And you get your Bible out and start reading in the Gospel of John and just read that. And then help us out if you pray for us and send us a gift. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on internet, ChristianWorshipHour.com. Now I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I'm praying for all those who are coming to you right now, all those who are accepting you all over the world. Give them that peace, that wonderful peace. And Lord, I'm praying today for the shut-ins and those who can't get around, those who are on sick beds. I'm praying for the young people, Lord, that you'll help them in their decisions of life. Such a hard life they have to face, but they can do it victoriously with you. Pray for the children that they'll open their heart to Jesus because he loves them and wants them to come. I just pray that all these, this message and this sermon and through song will speak to many and bring them to Jesus. Beautiful, beautiful Jesus. For we pray it in his name. Amen. So I want to thank you all for worshiping with us today. If you made decisions for Jesus, we just rejoice with you. If you draw closer to the Lord, or if you drifted away and you came back, we rejoice in that. If you send us a gift to send us a letter, we've got it on the screen there. To those in the that are on shortwave radio, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota. And so now we're praying that God will bless you, and we'll look for you next weekend when together we'll join hands around the throne of God and worship him again. God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area, subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song, view frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions, and submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.